extremely difficult and probably pretty costly, and may actually put an encumbrance on existing properties that could have a detrimental effect to clearing title for a sale. So it may have more difficulties than benefit. And just thinking this through quickly here at the lectern, it possibly could create all sorts of additional problems that you don't intend to. We could look into it, but I suspect that there might be some other issues there.
We could just put a really long start date out there. I agree with Ken. I think this is one of the best ones we've seen come up so far. I am of the opinion we do need something as an enforcement tool, but I would be in Ken's camp in that I would think that it needs to be put out there for the actual start date to start quite a ways out to give people a long time to come in to meet that.
You want to give us a year, or what are you thinking?
That's what I was thinking. Because if we can't, I was thinking the same thing, that it's going to be a nightmare to try to track. As properties are sold, then you're going to have to put it out there at least a year.
If I could offer a suggestion, yeah. This is the direction council wants to head. I would propose that you consider adopting the ordinance as it's written, and then having staff take basically a count, if you will, of how many residences this affects, and instruct staff to come back in a certain time period and let you know what the results of the voluntary compliance efforts have been before we go down to an actual enforcement process under our administrative enforcement code. And then council can look at how many people are still in non-compliance and decide at that point if they want to pursue enforcement on those cases. But if you adopt it, at least then it would give staff the ability to make contact with the owners and request voluntary compliance. I think you'll be surprised at how many people, once they know that this is the expectation, are willing to do something.
I suppose, thinking about it a little further down the line, if you have a single car garage, single car driveway, you have a single car cut to curb, right? So you put in a 30-foot parking space, so are you going to have to drive over the curb to get to it, or you drive up and try to jink around to get over that? And it's against the law, you know, you can't drive over the curb. So are you going to have to put in a 30-foot curb cut?
Keep in mind, 30 feet is the maximum. If you have an existing 12-foot wide driveway and you're perfectly happy with that, there's no obligation for you to expand that to 30 feet. If you were to do that, if you wanted to put in a 30-foot driveway, yes, you'd have to meet city standards to do a curb cut and those things if you want full access to that driveway. But this would not go to existing homes and say, you now have to have a 30-foot driveway if you only have a 12. I mean, that isn't the intent. It's to set a limit of how big you can go rather than to force people to go that size.
So does council like the thought of passing the ordinance with compliance within a year? I brought that up. Gina, yes.
Time limit would be good, but ultimately we're still mandating what they have to do.
I think it seems to me what's brought a lot of this up was there are some really gross overuse of lawns to park on. Not an awful lot, there are a few. And if you know, I can point out a couple of them, and then one that as long as I've lived where I live right now, that's probably 6 years, I guess it is, every time I drive by there, there's a car park there. There's no grass, there's just dirt, you know. And but there is a driveway, but there's like three cars parked in the driveway, and I think two of them haven't moved in the 5 years that I've been here. You know, whatever that way. But I guess, you know, if you say, okay, here's your 12-foot driveway, just make it gravel or whatever it is, and you can, but just don't park on the lawn, if that's what we're saying here. I got 20-foot driveway in my house, you know, the width of my garage. I got 5 feet on the other side, so it's gravelled over on that extra side, so I can park half of my pickup over on that gravel part and still have most of my 20-foot driveway for access to the garage. But I don't know.
Okay, well, let's, do we have a motion to put on the floor? Anybody want to do a motion so we can move forward? Not really?
I move we accept the motion as
written. I second.
Okay, we have a first and second to move to adopt the residential parking ordinance as written. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye. No, let's raise your hand so I know. Raise your hand, please.
Yeah.
Two people? Okay, that fails then. Do we have any other motion? No? Okay, well, you gonna say something, Gina?
Well, I move that we adopt the residential parking ordinance and then put it a year out.
Say again, I didn't catch.
Adopt it, but have it start in a year. Give people time.
Okay, so we have a motion to adopt the residential parking ordinance to begin in 1 year, in 12 months from this date, correct?
Yes.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Ken Kaler seconded. Any further discussion?
Do we have any more? Yes, I will. How are we going to educate people to do this? Are we going to send out the letter with our City of Othello water bills, or? Because we have to educate them and let them
know. Yeah, we start informing those that are not doing it, be informed.
Well, the enforcement officer could go to the places that he sees.
There's a lot of avenues in our utility bills and newspaper, and I think the most important we discussed earlier is direct contact.
Okay, I had a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, would you please raise your hands? Two? You oppose it, Dan? Okay. Two people. Okay. One, two, three, four. Okay, we have something. That passes then. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all your time.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl.
Work on the committee.
He thought he was going back for one more.
Yeah. Okay, beautification committee update. Lynette?
Good evening, council members.
I understand that.
Yeah, time we gave you an update on behalf of the Beautification Committee on what has been going on related to our Main Street Beautification Project. As many of you know, and some of you may not, some time ago we applied for a grant through Quadco, and that's through the Department of Transportation. Well, good news, we were awarded the grant. Bad news, there was no money to fund it. This would have been a planning grant that would have allowed us to hire a landscape architect specializing in streetscaping to come in, work with your beautification committee to come up with a formalized plan on paper and be able to move our project forward. So right now, without that planning grant funding, we are on hold. And what we have done, we heard from a Quadco member that there was a possibility that funds could be reimbursable if we got money from an alternative source up front for the amount of the grant, that the money could be reimbursable once the Quadco monies came through. And Eamon has written a letter for us asking if that indeed is true. And if we can get that in writing, then we can possibly move forward with front-loaded money and bring our landscape architect on board to be able to get a plan in place and move forward. I'm excited to report that we have an interested group of citizens that have come forward and are willing to put funding in place to help us get started with this project, possibly a couple of blocks. But again, until we have a plan to work from, we're pretty much on hold, and that money coming forth would be on hold. As part of what would be necessary to receive donations, we need to have a nonprofit to run donations through. Beautification up to this point has been a group of interested citizens who have band together and have run around doing the projects that you see in town, but we haven't been formalized as far as elected officers, as far as board members, having bylaws, all of those kinds of things. We are taking steps to become a nonprofit group and get that 501c3 status, and are working with an attorney and an accountant to walk us through the steps necessary to become nonprofit. And that's a time-consuming thing. We're probably at least 60 days out on that. But once we have that and are able to bring our person on board, I think we have some real possibility to move forward. Something else that's been going on, we've been gathering information, and just for your information, a luminary that we would place on the street, and we've talked about 6 per block, a luminary similar to what CBHA has. We're looking in the neighborhood of $3,500 just for the luminary. That does not, or the lamppost and the luminaries on top. That does not include the infrastructure below ground. So it's going to be a pricey project, but we're not daunted by that, and we're going to be moving forward. We're also looking at alternatives to trees and sidewalks, and we've been looking at municipal grade planters as a possible alternative to trees in the streets. That's been a very controversial issue, and we want something that is maintainable and sustainable for years and years to come, and we don't want to kill off our public works people, so we really are re-looking at that. So that's a brief up, maybe not so brief, but that's an update. Okay?
Thank you, Lynette. We appreciate all the work the volunteers are doing, so let them know for it from us. So that's neat you guys are doing that. Okay, swim team request, Eamon and Tim Taft.
I'd like to introduce Tim Taft. I guess you're called the chairman of the swim team group. Tim approached the city on behalf of the swim team and asked if the city would consider authorization of a tournament in Othello at our pool in 2014, so in 3 years. Tim came and presented this idea to the swim or the park and rec committee of the city council. The main issue at that point was the 2.5 to 3 days time frame. The question that came out of that was, what do we do with people that have purchased swim passes for the entire season, and now we're going to take 3 days away from them? So the resolution of that was to, when we sell passes that year, since we're 3 years out, we just notify people. We tell them up front that these 3 days, if the council approves this, these 3 days will not be used by the public because there's a tournament. So Tim has some particulars to share with you. The urgency is that he has to have the application in tomorrow. to AAU, is that right?
Is our league, to our league.
To the league. So with that, let me introduce Tim Taft, and you can kind of go through your stuff.
We thank you, Council, for the chance to address you. We belong to the Mid-Valley Swim League, so we swim across your Grandview, everybody up through there, representing about 650 swimmers. We expect about 500 swimmers to come in for champs. Every year at the end of the season, they have just a league championship. You may have been aware that our pool size and requirements, you wonder about those questions. That's an AAU rule, and so we could never host an AAU tournament, but we can host just a basically a local league championship where our swimmers swim against each other. We get pool records, but it wouldn't be an AAU record that would go national or something like that. So the pool requirement and specs don't really apply to us. The request is that we could shut our pool down for 3 days, host the tournament. It rotates between each of the participants in the league. 2014, we would host it, expecting about 500 swimmers. And that would come, obviously, along with their families and swim for 3 days. Hopefully, we would. What I'd like to happen is I contacted the two previous hosts. This weekend, Toppenish is hosting it. Last year, Sunnyside hosted it. Talked to both of them. The people who, both the city and the swim league presidents, kind of got some particulars from them, you know, about maybe some of the costs that they'd incur and how they work within the city. And I actually have the contract that Sunnyside emailed me, their contract. They put it right into the contract. When they're hosting champs, the pool's going to be shut down these 3 days. So when you buy a league pass, you'll know, or a season pass, you'll know that this year, we get to host champs. Hopefully it could be presented as a positive. Here's an opportunity to have, you know, 1,000 people or more come into our town and stay and swim with us, and a chance to maybe promote our pool. One thing to know that kind of brag about our team, you look at the numbers in the sports page and you go, man, we suck at swimming. But what it is, the size. We're rated by size. So if we don't have any swimmers, we're about 60 swimmers swimming teams anywhere from 100 to 150. Members. And so if we have a race where we don't have any swimmers that participate, they get all the points for it. So it's awarded points by the places and the amount of swimmers and times and stuff like that. So one of the things that's happened is the whole league has actually gone to our record-keeping policy. We have computerized the whole record-keeping policy here as a league or as a team. And the rest of the league next year is requiring that the rest of them all computerize it like we do. So you got to know that that's a good thing out there. We're making a good impression and actually changing a bit of the league. So that's the request, is to maybe write into our contract for 2014, the pool usage, that we have it for 3 days to host that. It would probably need all 3 days because our pool is only 6 lanes instead of 8. And so and a shorter pool, so it would take a little longer to get all those 500 swimmers through the whole championship. So there it is. Any questions?
Well, that sounds pretty exciting. I know it'll bring a lot of money into the community, too, with people staying in hotels and buying food and going to the restaurants.
It may require a waiver. I don't know. What they have done in the last couple of cities is allow them to spend evenings in, like, tents right there by around the pool, that kind of stuff, some vendors to come in. You might be interested to know that neither one of the cities used their concessions there. They used it as a fundraiser for the swim team. Had their own concessions trailer that they brought in, and had Rotary and a couple other nonprofits cook breakfast and trade off. That's all something we can negotiate, you know, down the road. But some specifics. There's costs involved. There'd be $4,000 to $6,000 worth of just trophies for us to do brochures, and obviously some restroom facilities as well to rent. So there you go.
Questions for Tim? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve contingent on negotiations for a rental in 2014 as fees cannot be determined 3 years out?
I'll make that motion.
Gina, first? Okay, second?
Second.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, great. Passes.
So with that motion, we'll make a note to include that in the 2014 contract with the swim team.
So we have a letter of some type that we agree to do that, so I can send it to
tomorrow?
That's for me.
Okay, cool. Well, that sounds pretty neat. Okay. Second quarter report from Adams County Fire District number 5.
I promise to keep it short. We're running out of time. Second quarter, 22 fire incidents. One of those was a triplex up here on the north end of town. Displaced 3 families and extensive interior damage to the facility. American Red Cross stepped in and helped relocate people, helped with clothing and food for a short term. And the facility or the structure is being rebuilt as we speak. City business inspections, 20 for the second quarter. 6 trainings in-house, and then 2 specialized trainings. One is a red card training, which is wildland, and it covers some of the urban interface wildland issues that we're starting to develop around Othello and the district as well. The flashover trailer from Walla Walla came back. We went through it, both on the flashover portion, the interior attack, fire, and the get out alive. The get out alive is to train firefighters to either do an emergency evacuation of a building through windows, through doors, through walls, down through the floor, maybe off the top of the building via a ladder, teaches them how to come down head first instead of feet first, which is unique, and how to repel. They touch on that. We don't spend a lot of time on repelling. It takes quite some time, but it's a real good training. We're fortunate we've been able to have it here every other year, and we hope to continue that for firefighters. The some of the things that we're looking at this summer are our normal testing. We're doing the public works and fire department teaming up on the hydrant testing. So far, we've tested about half the hydrants in Othello. We've tested all the new hydrants down Main Street, and we've found relatively few problems this year. Some of the things that we look for in stiff operation of the hydrant or debris that may have been during construction, say rocks, things like that, flushing those out. Any malfunction is noted, and public works are pretty quick to address those issues. The other thing that's happening, it will be happening this week, our pumper testing. We'll be testing the pumps to a NFPA certified test, and hopefully that will start tomorrow and run throughout the week. Our hose testing will start in August, and we'll be doing that with our summer part-time help. Hose testing is we pressurize the hose to 250 pounds or 200 pounds, whichever the style of hose we're doing, and we hold it for 5 minutes to a burst period, and make sure the hose is safe for firefighters to use. One of the things that we've been working on for quite some time is the FCC 2013 January 1 mandate to be narrow-banded. Right now, our fleet of trucks have that capability in the radios. We lack the portable radios and we lack the pagers. We're currently working on that for funding through grants. That's an ongoing, but I'm confident we'll make it by 2013. And the final thing that I'll address tonight is Washington Survey and Rating Bureau that sets the insurance standard ratings for the city of Othello and the district. We're doing a updated survey, and they'll be here later this summer or early fall to do an assessment. And we'll find out where we're rated at then. Hopefully we can move up in classifications. If you have any questions,
No questions? Well, we appreciate the relationship. I think it's worked very well for both of us. And tell everybody to keep the good work up. We are thankful. Thanks, Chief. Okay, Chief, I guess you might be back again. Let me see. Fire station classroom usage policy.
Well, let me preface a review of the policy by explaining how we got here and the purpose of the policy. Chief Lee Bakken had been approached numerous times to use the classroom in our fire station. If you haven't been to our fire station and seen the facility and how it's laid out, it's a big bay with an attached classroom to it with a restroom. The classroom facility is quite nice and is like a schoolroom classroom with tables and chairs, and is very highly prized as a place to meet. Because the chief had some unusual requests for use, he asked if we could develop a facility use policy for this classroom. The chief and I have been working about a month on this and kicking it back and forth, and we've had city attorney review and comment on it. The question became, who should use the facility? And the chief has asked that because we have other facilities for public, that he would like to maintain some integrity for the fire department by only letting governmental agencies use the facility. This means WSP, the sheriff's office, emergency management, of course our police department, and things like that. Coupled with that, we've talked to our insurance company, and they have agreed that we can waive the requirement for the insurance because all government agencies have insurance. So if we can kind of walk through this very, very simply, again, it gives the fire chief, Chief Lee Bakken, the authority to schedule the classroom and implement the policies and procedures of this policy. He will develop a checklist and application based on the requirements in this policy and procedure so that he'll have some information on file and schedule. It is subject to being, if he schedules something, it is subject to being bumped by the city for city need. Again, we would work through the fire chief to do that. So, I'm sure you've read through all the requirements. It's a basic application, responsible for damage, agree to hold the city harmless, the fire chief, full authority to cancel and reschedule, no admission fee, reservation for one-time occasions only and cannot be used for ongoing activities. In other words, an entity can't have it every Tuesday night from 7 to 8, repetitively. Let's see what else is in here. Limited to other government officials or agencies, persons or organizations with contractual relationship to the city, or organizations in which a city council member or city employee is a member for professional development or other city-related purposes. Now, 4.3 and 4.4, I'd like to highlight those, and Chief Lee Bakken had asked specifically for these, and I know Councilmember Kaler has a question, so our attorney can we'll defer to her relative to 4.3 and 4. The facilities may not be used by non-governmental officials or agencies for activities involving fundraising, advertising, promoting or selling merchandise or services for profit or not-for-profit. And 4.4, use of facilities by persons or organizations for election or campaign purposes or purposes contrary to federal, state, or city law is not authorized. So did you have any comments, Chief, to add?
No.
So with that, we would ask the council to consider adopting the policy and procedure relative to the fire station meeting room.
Ken?
Yeah, I got a couple of questions here, and I don't know whether it affects this or not, but one question is, does that mean then as far as a volunteer fireman, can they still have their breakfast and their fundraiser and whatnot? Is that still okay, basically? Because I don't want to get in a spot here where maybe we can, we can't.
The Volunteer Fire Association will be part of your government agency. They are volunteers for a public entity.
Okay. Now, what about the state regulations that you can use fire departments, fire areas for different types of things? You can use them for political things. You can have an open for a D or an R, I'll put it that way. You can have meetings that way. You can also have forums. You can have a public meeting there as far as, say you've got a difference, you want a public opinion, like we have a public hearing here. A lot of times those will go through and they're done at fire stations. So is that going to affect anything through the state ruling of that? Or am I off base?
Well, the city still has the discretion to provide other public places for those types of events. My understanding was because of the layout of this particular facility, there's more of an enforcement issue in terms of enforcing what the activities are and monitoring the use, which makes it a little more problematic than you have in other areas where you can host the same events. It's more an issue of, do you have alternate public space available to host those types of local forums? And my understanding is that you do. This just wasn't a very ideal spot for that.
I know it was done in Quincy, and I also know it was done in Moses Lake and several other areas. This exact thing. So I just kind of... I'm sure we're on board here. We're not stepping our bounds.
You're right, Ken. In Moses Lake, it's a beautiful facility, and the classroom is often separate from the Bay Area. And I apologize, I glossed over that, and thanks, Catherine, for leading into that. The reasons for this request are liability and safety. And the liability issue is when the bell rings and the fire department is moving, they know what they're doing and their process and their procedure. And it's awful easy for somebody to open the door and look in the bay and what's going on here and get in the way. That creates some liability. The other issue is safety for not only the firefighters, but the people that could be using the facility. And most government agencies understand when the bell rings, you stay out of the way and let the group that's supposed to be working do their job. The third reason, which is a much lesser reason, but could happen, is fire trucks are an attractive thing to go look at and play with. And during a break at a meeting, somebody could go through the door and go out and look at a fire truck and pull a wrong lever or move something that they're gonna need, not knowing that it's been altered. And when they get to the fire, they've gotta figure out what happened. Again, that's a lesser reason, but it's one that the chief and I have talked about. So again, this policy allows use by government agencies and allows the chief discretion to schedule. There's no fee, and there is a application process that the chief will determine from this policy if you adopt it.
Did you question the volunteer use of it, like for spaghetti feeds and stuff like that? Is that...
That's allowable, Dan, because that's a government agency.
Did they use the Bay Area for those kind of things? Seems like to me, I was down there one time and it was covered a lot of territory.
Yeah, as long as it's structured through the chief.
We do use the Bay Area, but it's also occupied by firefighters controlling access to points that the public shouldn't be in.
Okay, it says facilities for the policy are defined as any part of the fire station, including the classroom, excluding the Bay areas. So with that, you got a double meaning there?
No, and that's monitored and set forth by the chief. He controls all of that. So I don't think there's an issue there between the two.
Okay. Well, you brought it up. If you say you can't use it, then does that mean for everybody, or does the volunteers get to say, okay, this is okay?
That's the discretion of the chief on assigning it. Sure.
Mark, did you have a comment or question?
that went along with his, what he mentioned there.
Okay. So do I hear a motion to approve the fire station use policy?
So moved.
Dan first?
Second.
Gina second? Any further comments or questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? All right, that passes. Thank you, Chief. Okay. Ordinance to amend OMC Chapter 9.32 titled Speed Limits.
Yes. Good evening, Chief. Mr. Mayor. Chief Dunnigan, Othello Police Department. What I have before you tonight is a very short ordinance. It deals with the speed limit out on 14th Avenue. As you're already aware, the going out of town on 14th at the water tower, the speed limit authorizes 40 miles per hour. All the way coming in off of Highway 26, the speed limit is 25. So we have contrasting lane speeds. This is we're trying to be a little proactive and get this done so people get used to it. But as you're also aware, we have a new school on tap for coming in out there. There's going to be bus traffic, sidewalks and pedestrians and children. Gemstone has already been punched through to 14th Avenue. That is ingress and egress from a residential subdivision. Therefore, we believe that it is time to make 14th Avenue 25 miles an hour both directions and get that awareness campaign out there before it starts getting too hectic out there. So the cost is about $300. I think we'll have to add maybe one. Well, I know we'll have to add one, maybe two signs, and then change the existing 40 mile an hour sign. So Terry assures me that that can be done fairly inexpensively and quickly. And so the issue is, do you want to adopt 25 miles per hour on 14th and have that added to our ordinance, which our city attorney has already added that as an amendment? And so what I need is a motion from someone on the council to go ahead and adopt that amendment.
In the ordinance I have on the computer, it says 20 miles per hour.
20 mile an hour on Pine Street. But the draft I read from 20 miles an hour on Pine Street at the park, it's 25 miles an hour. It should be 14th, drop down a little bit.
That's just the rest of the ordinance. There's right. Only one line added.
Okay, any other questions? So do I hear a motion to adopt the proposed amendment of OMC 9.32.020 to set the speed limit on 14th Avenue at 25 miles per hour?
So moved.
Charles first.
Second.
Gina second. Any further comments or questions?
Yeah, just really one other comment. Does this also include 14th? Because I know the city limits now goes out to Lee Road and 14th on the north side. Also, once people hit Place d'Olympia Street, is that also 25?
No.
At that stretch currently?
No, that's out in the farmland, okay, so it would not be affected.
It won't affect that portion.
The 25 there is state authorizes 25 miles per hour for a residential area. And with the encroachment of the residential area and the schools, that's a good recommended speed there. But once you get past Olympia out there, that's heading out to the county intersection. So I don't think that would require. Did you write it for the whole length of 14th?
Only in the city limits.
Then if it's all in the city limits, then it would be all the way out to the city limit line.
So it would affect it out to Lee Road?
Yes.
Also?
Yep.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Great, that passes. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Okay. Thank you. Mayor's announcements. Wednesday, July 27th is the date set for the city and county review of the prosecutor agreement. The meeting will be held at Adams County Service Building here in Othello about 1 p.m. That's Mark Snyder, the mayor, the police chief, and administrator. Amen. Okay, this Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And we are now going to go into... The council will now adjourn to an executive session to discuss items provided for in RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1, parentheses B, to consider the selection of a site or the acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase. The executive session is expected to last 45 minutes, during which time no action will be taken. upon resumption of the regular meeting, the council may choose to take action regarding the executive session item. So we need Terry to stay and Mike, okay? And everybody else, please leave the room. Anybody else need to use the restroom?
Yes.